Hey, Jones, how's it going?
Martha fucking shit cock ass balls. My kid, my oldest, is leaving for England tomorrow. She's doing a study abroad in Canterbury for 3 months. I have this horrible vision of her not being allowed back the way this country is. To top it off, my wife and middlest son are going to go visit her in December and bring her home. And so I'm like, oh, great. Fucking three members of my family not going to be able to come home. It's going to be my boy Ronan and I. We're the most autistic members of the family. So that's going to be a fucking hoot.
It's an autistic party. All of your tics will start triggering each other.
Oh, gosh. You know what? It's like all three of my kids are autistic and we all have our own thing.
Yeah.
He and I get along best because, believe it or not, we're both pretty quiet. I'm quiet in general, unless I'm talking on a podcast or I get on a rant or something like that. And my middleest, he tends to be pretty quiet as well, so.
Soon you'll be left all alone, son.
My eldest, what she's wanting to do this semester is find a place to go to graduate school in the UK or Europe.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, that's great. And then she goes to bed and I cry to my wife. I'm like, I don't want to leave her. It's amusing because I remember when I moved out, my mother had a complete fucking meltdown. She's because that week, me and my sister, who was a year younger than me, both moved out. The only one she had left was my baby sister, who was 9 at the time. So what she did, she took my room, she gutted it, and put every single Noah's Ark knickknack that you could think of, plastered on the walls, put up shelves, the bedspread. And so I came, I was like, what did you do in my room, Mom? She's like, well, you left me.
Turn it into Noah's Ark.
Oh, it was horrible.
She's this far away from filling your room up with creepy dolls or something.
I mean, there were a couple. Back in the 90s, they had these little ceramic cartoon-esque figurines.
There's been a lot of those sorts of things. Hey, they're all fucking creepy.
Ceramic figure 1990s. Creepy as fuck.
And up comes a picture of Charlie Kirk.
No. God. Oh, my God. Precious moments. That's what those fuckers were called.
Precious moments. Oh, my God. That's just such a hideous name.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be nice to have precious moments in life, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
You know, actual precious moments. I don't feel like they happen anymore.
No, they don't.
Or maybe they never did. I don't know.
These motherfuckers.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no thanks.
Yeah, but back in the day, I remember them being unpainted. But anyway, she had those all in my fucking room as well.
Is that the whole point? You buy them unpainted and you paint them?
Well, maybe, but that's not what she did with them. Fuck precious moments.
Creepy motherfucking dolls.
Yeah, creepy motherfucking dolls, exactly.
Well, welcome to Book of Boredom Podcast. It's been a while.
It has.
I am now back in my home.
I am very happy to hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And let's get back to mocking this stupid religion. Couple of bits of news. The rollback on the porn shoulders for women's clothing rules is kind of sending the conservative, true-believing Mormon women into a bit of a frenzy. It's like, how could my church change? I thought I was doing this so good. Now I don't know what to believe anymore.
This happens all the fucking time, where they change something that has been a bedrock aspect of the religion.
Right.
You may or may not have seen clips of church leaders talking about women becoming walking pornography by exposing their shoulders. Hell, growing up, we would go to youth activities where we would go out as teenagers and, you know, the guys could wear basically whatever the fuck they wanted. But the girls, it was hammered into the messaging that they had to dress modestly, because if they didn't dress modestly, they would cause the men to lose control, because men have no control over anything and it's all the women's fault. And so, you know, everybody else was wearing tank tops. Everybody else was wearing, you know, low cut stuff like that. But as Mormons, we were a peculiar people.
That's right.
We were setting ourselves apart from the rest of the world. And now all of a sudden it's like, that's fine, whatever. And they've got their paid influencers, or they're paying somebody who's paying influencers so they could say, well, we're not paying influencers. My mom and dad recently, they had the sister missionaries over and they sent pictures, and these sister missionaries are wearing fucking tank tops, which is something that never would have happened.
It's hot.
Well, it is, because they're in North Carolina. Not only is it hot, it's humid as fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can definitely understand why it's confusing. And, you know, as ex-Mormons, I've had that thought a lot where like, okay, I was raised with, you know, them straight up denying that Joseph Smith ever had more than one wife, which is true because legally you can only marry one person in the United States of America. So he never had more than one wife. He just fucked a lot of people.
That's right.
And buried it under spiritual mumbo jumbo that was bullshit.
He had hookups.
He had victims is what he had.
Yeah.
And then a few years later after, of course, I had left and then I came back because of the woman that would become my wife. It's like, wait a minute. You guys are saying Joseph Smith had multiple wives? I thought that that was an anti-Mormon lie. Well, you know, everything that used to be an anti-Mormon lie is coming out as being true. The drive under Rusty has become to make Mormonism just like every other fucking white Christian religion in this country. And so they're grasping at straws. And we've talked about it before. I don't think the church is ever going to cease, collapse, or anything like that.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. That'd be nice, but...
maybe it'll shrivel.
Well, you have seen the old men that are in charge of it. It's already shriveled. You know about Hillsong, right?
Oh, I know all about Hillsong.
Now, lately, I don't know if you've seen on Reddit, they are Mormon, like, revival meetings where they're doing the singing and the, oh, praise Jesus bullshit. It's like, what the fuck is happening to this peculiar church that I was raised in?
Wow.
It's now becoming just like every other fucking white Christian nationalist bullshit church.
So Mormon Hillsong.
Basically.
Oh, wow. Well, certainly the mainstream Mormon church still has a way to go before it's anything like Hillsong from what I've seen.
Yeah, but
they have the technology to do it.
Yeah, they're literally just trying everything right now. You know, they claim 17 million members worldwide, which compared to 8 billion people, that ain't shit, bitch. It sounds like a big number to ignorant people.
17 million bored people in church.
Yeah. Whereas the actual active membership that they actually keep track of, they have the ward clerk go through every week at church with one of those little clickers.
It's so creepy.
And so they know how many people show up every fucking week. They take roll, just like you're in elementary school. I've seen it on Reddit. You probably have too, that we're looking at like 5 to 10% of the ward's registered members are actually showing up.
Right. Yeah. No, I can believe that.
And so they're just desperately trying to get anything to get people in. And I think that they see these active Christian nationalists and their craziness, and they're like, well, let's try that.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Back to the porn shoulders for a moment.
Yeah. Look at my porn shoulders.
Ooh. I know. I know there's been backflips in the past, but I'm wondering if the thing that makes this one even more indigestible by the ladies is that it's intrinsically a part of how they present themselves to the world.
They have generations of women that have grown up like this. As a Mormon woman, you have to find the things that won't show your garments. Try the things on to make sure the top of your garment's not sticking up above your neckline. Mormon women would wear a tank top on top of a t-shirt or a long sleeve shirt so that they could wear the cute little strappy thing, but they would be covered modestly underneath it.
Oh, God.
Especially here in Utah, it was like the uniform.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, no, it's okay. Shoulders are fine.
Yeah, summer is in.
It's a complete 180 and it's so fucking abrupt.
Get some new tan line, ladies.
Oh, God, yeah. So I can definitely understand why people would be like, this makes no sense. Why have you suddenly decided that the thing that you told me my whole life, suddenly the prophet's like, nah, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
It's confusing. This is one of those things where it's happened so abruptly and so visually obvious that a lot of people can't just ignore it or say, oh, it's always been this way.
It's hard to shift gears.
Yeah, you can't shift gears and you can't pretend like it hasn't been a huge fucking change. You know, going from saying in church, Joseph only ever had one wife too, Joseph had many, many wives. Although even that, there's people that are still saying, no, Joseph only had one wife. I don't care what the prophet says. One man, one wife. There's billboards on I-15.
I know. I was just about to mention that. I saw that on the subreddit too. He's not a mainstream Mormon though, is he? He's some sort of...
I mean, they're all nutbags of one stripe or the other, but yeah.
A Mormon-related crank puts a billboard out that says, Joseph was right. One man, one wife. And I'm thinking, has he not heard the history?
Well, I mean, there are some people that they just, you know, they can't make that shift. They're like, no, this is where I was raised. I'm not changing. And of course, it doesn't help that a sign of the last days is that the great and elect will be deceived by Satan.
The great apostasy.
Yeah, right, exactly. So they're like, oh, look, it's happening. They're changing their mind on Joseph. But, you know, in 20 years, the kids that have been inoculated against this would be like, yeah, so what? He had 30 wives. So what? No big deal. It's fine. They've always taught us this.
Yeah, it's interesting just about inoculation that you mentioned there. I was trying to work out how much land is owned in Australia by the farmer's arm of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Too fucking much.
It's definitely a lot. And on their website, it's like they're inoculating us by saying, oh no, this is taxable. This is for profit. But I don't reckon they're really paying that much tax, if any. I bet they've got boffins on that.
Oh yeah.
That can just write off the deductions somehow.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to capitalism. Every fucking company does this shit.
Yeah.
The church has always claimed that their mission is holy and that they are better than the rest of the world. They're above the rest of the world. But it's jarring for those people that have their eyes open to going, oh, wow, this church that claimed that it was really good and really wonderful, they're just like every other fucking rich entity. They're assholes and they're out to fuck everybody and get what they can.
People ruin everything.
Yep, humanity is trash and it sucks and I hate it. People, individuals, they can be cool. I can get along with them.
Yeah.
But the more you put together, the shittier they become.
Which is a surprise to me that you like socialism so much.
I like the idea of socialism because if it's structured and if it's maintained, it is designed to help the most people. If humans aren't humans, unfortunately, humans are humans.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like me and my mentalist were having a conversation yesterday. He's like, oh, I found out about this anarchist.
They've got anarcho before everything now.
Yeah, well, there was some anarchist collective or something that was on the campus of his university and they were meeting. And I was like, dude, do you think that that is the way to do it? He's like, well, it's an interesting thought exercise, but unfortunately, it'd be great if people weren't the way they are.
Yeah.
As soon as you have people, people are going to seek to be in control. Not all people, but some people are going to seek to have more power, more influence, and they are going to enforce that on other people.
That's why we can't have nice things, James.
No, that's exactly why we can't have nice things.
Because people ruin everything.
Well, yeah.
They ruin politics, both sides. And in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, that comes down to the fact that, again, we're just fucking apes.
Yeah, we're jumped up apes, quote Jones.
Jumped up apes, exactly. We weren't designed to deal with more than 50 to 100 individuals around us. More than that, and we're just like, phew, it blows up. So he's like, yeah, anarchy is an interesting idea, but I would want to actually get involved in that.
No, pretty much any ism or wasm, really, if you fuel it with the reality of what humans are, none of it really works.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, that goes back to why socialism appeals, because if it's done right, there are structures put in place to offset humans being humans, you know, to not fall into those traps that all the other isms fall into. Like capitalism, people being shitheads is the whole point. And like the libertarianism here in the US has been co-opted for the last 60, 70 years by the Christian right anyway. So they're just like Christians who say, don't tread on me, but let me tread on everybody else. They're not really libertarian.
No.
You know, they're just
they're just another asshole.
They're just trying to enforce their ways on everybody else. And so don't tread on me, but bend over and say, yes, daddy, because here I come.
Totally.
And then nutbags go and say, hey, this guy's saying horrible things about people, so I'm going to kill him.
Yep.
And they kill him, and other side uses it as an excuse to fucking implement more bullshit.
Yeah. We haven't heard the end of what's going to happen with the fallout from Charlie Kirk.
No. I want to get my kids out of this country and at least give them an option to find a better place. Because this country is not going to be a better place anytime in the near future.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe that I'm just a pessimist.
Well, you are a pessimist, but I can see your point. It certainly has gone down the gurgler in the last few years.
Alarmingly quick.
I hope that there's a bouncing back the other way.
Well, you can hope in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled out first.
All right, well, let's have a look at these quips. So I was listening to the Saints podcast, episode 27, and as usual, I had to stop myself from vomiting, and then I turned it into some clips.
Yeah, the clips that you presented were a bit chaotic, but also, I'm like, what was the point of this fucking episode they did? It's like they bounced all over the place.
They really did.
And so like, why are we talking about these fuckers from, you know, Wales?
Yeah.
And then I read about them, like, oh, because they were essentially sex trafficked from the UK over to Nauvoo and then to Utah.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because later on in one of the clips, they mentioned something that Thomas Sharp wrote about what was happening, and they're very dismissive of it.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
All right, well, let's listen to the first little clip then. So this is about Mary and John Davis.
The time period that we're in is early 1841. We've got Mary and John Davis, who are in their mid-20s, attending meetings that are held by the missionaries, and they decide to join the church and get married.
The 12 are on their mission in England. Yep. We've got a branch meeting in London.
They actually host meetings at their home for the missionaries to come and preach to people, because they're the only members of the church in their town of Turley. And that doesn't go well, of course. There are a lot of anti-Mormon feelings. Mob members come and disrupt a lot of the meetings that they have. One of them gets so violent that John actually is beat up so badly that he never recovers from his injuries and he actually dies. Yeah, she decides to leave and go to Nauvoo.
Your dad sends these attorneys to try to keep her from leaving.
They're waiting to leave till the ship is ready. So she's in Bristol for about a week. They're asking, you know, have you seen this woman dressed in black? Because she's in mourning. She decides that she is actually going to put her black clothes away in a trunk and dress like everyone else. It's almost kind of a turning of a page for her. I see that she's accepted that she needs to move on and, you know, move forward with faith.
Like, go forward with faith. Oh, God.
Yeah, go forward, not questioning anything. Leave your entire family behind in the place that you were born and raised and where you grew up,
mm-hmm.
and fuck off to
the sex cult in the middle of nowhere.
Sex cult on the very perimeters of the U.S. territories. And then they're going to fuck off 400 miles farther into the middle of nowhere. And they're like, oh, her dad was such a dick. He's sending a lawyer. His daughter was about to be kidnapped, essentially, by these fucking Mormons. They had come in and they decimated other communities by picking up all the young people, especially the young, good-looking women, and having them move to Zion and leaving, you know, disarray in their wake. John Taylor was there claiming that, oh, no, we don't do plural marriage, when he had, you know, fucking 3-5 wives back in Nauvoo.
Mm.
You know, they're talking about the mob. Like, the mob didn't have any motivation whatsoever. Like, the mob just came out of nowhere. They're like, oh, we don't like Jesus or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
They refused to even think about why the mob would want to do this. And that's because of the devastation of other communities around the UK that had the Mormon missionaries come in.
Wow. I didn't know that. Hey.
It's sad.
I thought it was interesting how the historian there says...
Historian. You need air quotes around that word.
Yeah. Actually, I forget what her title is. I looked it up so long ago, but...
Yes, lady. She's a yes lady.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's an apologist. She's, yeah.
But she says, of course, that didn't go well. It's like she just expects now that every time they preach whatever their church is saying, of course, things don't go well.
They learned it from the OG, Joseph Smith, who anytime he got caught pulling some scam, he's like, oh, well, they're just attacking me because they are influenced by Satan. Not because fucking ripping them off and fucking their daughters. No, he didn't say that. No. That pattern has continued all the way throughout Mormon history, that if anything is done in opposition to the church, it's because Satan. It's the influence of evil. It's not because you guys are fucking immoral assholes. But again, that's human nature. To not examine why people are against you. Just say, oh, well, they're bad.
Yep. The lack of internal reflection and a lack of thinking.
Yep, exactly.
It's like we're wired up to not think as much as possible, and I hate it.
I mean, we literally are.
Mm-hmm. Shoot first, think never.
Yeah, basically.
That was a line from
Ash versus Evil Dead.
That's right. Ash versus Evil Dead. Shoot first, think never.
That was the series that he just did like a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never did see that one. I really enjoyed Army of the Dead. I thought that was a lot of fun when I saw that. But
anything with Bruce Campbell's is a lot of fun.
He's fun. He's definitely fun.
He's a fun guy. All right. So let's have a look at the next clip I've called. Oh, just one source, eh?
Leslie, as a lead source checker for the project, one of the questions I think many of our listeners will have is, where does this story come from? And I know there are hundreds and hundreds of sources, but can you give us just a little picture of your world? Like, how do we know this story? Where did it come from? How much artistic license was used in telling the story?
The particular source for this story is actually Mary herself. She left a really fantastic, robust reminiscence that she wrote when she was about 50 years old. We're maybe putting it in words that we use today, but all the details are hers.
And when we see dialogue in quotes, does that mean that it's actually a quote from the source?
Yeah, it's coming directly from the source. Yep. We aren't making that up.
I don't know if our listeners can just understand the magnitude of Leslie's job, but it is incredible the work that her and her team have done on Saints to make sure that we are telling an accurate, a truthful, and an honest story.
We need to make sure that we're telling an accurate copying, pasting from one source, Jones.
They love a faithful source, like just one source, one faithful source.
Just one source.
But if there are 50 sources that are saying something against the church, well, they're not believable. Right. But that one faithful member, totally believable. Hell, it can even be the same person. Like Joseph Smith's wives, when they wrote down faith-affirming stories of Joseph and how great he was and everything. Mm. But when they were in court saying, yes, I was Joseph's wife in all ways that matter, basically, yeah, I fucked them. They're like, oh, no, you can't believe that. No, you know, she was under duress. What, you think she wasn't in duress when you fucked her all the way off to Utah and she had no way to get back?
Right.
You think that she was going to write down her true feelings when Brigham Young had no problem killing people who were not towing the line?
That fucker.
Yeah, that fucker.
That guy is a depressing asshole.
Well, that's Mormonism for you.
So as a counterpoint to that, Thomas Sharp.
Yeah, Thomas Sharp is an interesting guy. He's new to the area himself, but he originally moved there to practice law, but instead decided to purchase a newspaper in a town called Warsaw, which is just south of Nauvoo.
They laid the cornerstone for the Nauvoo Temple. The press coverage was actually pretty decent.
At the end of his little blurb about it, he said, "We have no time for further comments this week," which almost in my mind makes me think that he maybe had other thoughts that he wasn't yet willing to share.
I think that Warsaw Signal is not going to be the best friend of the Saints.
No, definitely
not. At least we got one good article out of
it. fuck you, Ben Godfrey.
Yeah, he's a twat. They're like, oh, at least we got one good article where they were saying nice things about the church. But when they said something mean about the church, they're bad. They have no problem looking at things that other people have said and cherry picking it. You know, I mean, hell, Joseph Smith is famous for saying, I am accused of having dozens of wives, and yet I look and I can only find one. But now that the church has been forced to admit that, yes, Joseph did fuck multiple women, they don't resolve that. Was he he lying? Well, they're not going to look at it. They don't think about it. And so if you are saying something faithful for the church, you are an impeccable source. But if you have anything to say against the church, you are evil. You are influenced by Satan.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
I was curious about this next one because I'm like, isn't this in the Constitution? Let's have a listen and then maybe you can answer this, because to me it seems like an absolute nothing burger.
The city council, in fact, passes a law, religious freedom, in the city of Nauvoo. It even protects the right of people who today we would say are Islamic or Muslim. At the time, they used a different word. But yeah, it's for Christians, for Jews, and even for Muslims to worship as they choose in the city of Nauvoo.
Is it just the Abrahamic religions? What about the others? And isn't that in the Constitution anyway? What the fuck is he talking about?
Sure, it's in the Constitution, but as we've seen, gets ignored when it's convenient. But there was a time where Mormons had felt a connection, affinity with Islam.
Was it their subjection of women that did it?
Maybe. I haven't done a hell of a lot of research on it, but I know that they welcomed, you know, ambassadors to Nauvoo and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And so the fact that that particular religious group was allowed into the city, it may have been economic. It may have been feeling that we too have been rejected by Christianity. So aren't we buddy buddies? I don't know. But, you know, yes, technically freedom of religion is part of the U.S. Constitution, but
they just felt the need to put it in the constitution of their town as well. But only those three religions.
And honestly, it wasn't that, because it was all Mormon all the time.
Yeah.
The courts were all Mormon. The constabulary was all Mormon.
Right.
The government was all Mormon. You know, it was all Mormon, 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 Mormon. So they said, oh yeah, you're welcome here. And you can be part of our community as long as you do what the Mormons tell you to do.
In fact, that's something that Leslie pulls Godfrey up on in a moment. Godfrey's like, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, well, it's actually because he was appointed.
He wasn't elected.
Yeah, that's right. So my next clip I've titled, unlike most prophets in the Old Testament, Joseph creeps around.
Louisa Beeman was 25 years old. Joseph Smith asks her to be his plural wife. The family had been a faithful supporter of Joseph and faithful members of the church, and so that's perhaps why he felt comfortable approaching them. And he's not so much introducing plural marriage to the saints. This isn't something that he announces. He's still not sure quite what to do, and so he's introducing it quietly and starting to follow the commandment that Heavenly Father has given him. Louisa is single. Her parents have passed away, and they enter into plural marriage together.
No, no, they didn't enter into plural marriage. He fucking took advantage of a woman who was in dire straits so he could stick his dick in her.
Yeah. What else did she get out of it?
I don't know. It's not like the prophet supported her in any way.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, no, because part of him trying to hide his various infidelities was to distance himself publicly from all these women.
That's called fucking run.
Yes, exactly. He was just in it for the dick. Lots of these women thought they were doing this so that they could be rewarded eternally. So that their families would be eternally progressing in the afterlife.
Eternally having babies.
He was doing, you know, what Blimpy does. I will gladly pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger today. That's what he was doing.
What's Blimpy?
Blimpy, isn't that his name? From Popeye? The guy with the little bowler hat?
I haven't watched much Popeye.
Fuck. Now I have to look it up.
Popeye the Sailor Man. He lives in a garbage can. He eats all the worms and spits out the germs.
Okay.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. Something like that?
Something like that. Wimpy. Oh, I was one letter off. His name was Wimpy. This motherfucker right here. Wimpy. This character, J. Wellington Wimpy from the Popeye comic strip, famously said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. So not Blimpy, Wimpy.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Basically, give me what I want for free, and sometime in the indeterminate future, I'll give you payment.
Deferred payment.
That's what Joseph was doing. Joseph was saying, you will be blessed in heaven. Your family will not be destroyed if you let me stick my cock in you.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
All right. So the next little clip here is, how did saints choose which of Joseph's hookups or victims?
Definitely victims.
To write about. Well, that's a very good question. Let's find out, Jones. This is going to be so exciting.
How in saints did we choose the stories to include, specifically around plural marriage? So, of course, we had Fanny Alger because she's the first.
We chose to tell the stories of Mary Elizabeth Rollins Leitner because she was married to another man. Her husband was not a member of the church and didn't really have an interest in joining the church. And so she wanted to have those eternal blessings. She represents, you know, about a dozen women. That was their story as well. And right. We have a better account of that. So that's why we're telling the story of Mary Elizabeth Rollins Leitner. We tell the story of Emily and Eliza Partridge because they left really interesting and detailed accounts later on in their life. So we have a little bit of a better idea about their story because we hear it from them. And then in terms of Louisa Beeman, she's representative of a young woman who is not married, who entered into plural marriage with Joseph.
He fucked around so much, they have to get representative fucks to report on.
And they're only the ones that they can spin to be faith-affirming.
Yeah.
Like her line, she didn't choose shit. She was literally coerced by Joseph saying, if you don't do this, the destroying angel will kill you, or the destroying angel will kill me, or the destroying angel will kill your family. And Mormons always do like, oh, they chose to. They did it because they were being threatened. It's not like they had any power. I mean, hell, the girl whose parents had died had nobody. People will do whatever they have to do to survive. And if you could convince people that there is a nebulous eternal reward later, they'll grasp at it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, times were tough. This was the frontier times.
Well, not only was it the frontier times, lots of these people had come from different countries with nothing. They sold everything they had to be able to get to Nauvoo, and they had nothing. They were living in shacks, but because they had a nice looking ass, or their bustle made their ass look nice, or whatever, they had nice looking ankles. Joseph comes in and says, I will grant you eternal life if we fuck. And so it's like, is there a choice there? No, there's not a choice there. It's coercion, it's manipulation, it's evil. And that's the Mormon way.
It also makes me think, though, if we can somehow keep women wise to cult leaders' wily abilities, if we can separate the women from the cults, we're not going to have a cult anymore.
Well, yeah, that's why the cult leaders fuck so many people and make the young children be raised and isolated so that they don't think about leaving. I mean, we see it all the time with the fundamentalist Mormons, that as soon as people start thinking for themselves, they are shunned, they're rejected, they're sent away from their family, from their friends, from everything they grew up with. They make it so that leaving is such a horrifying thought that you're just like, well, I'll just stay here.
They don't care so much about the men going.
No, yeah.
The men can leave, but as long as the women stay.
In fact, they often kick out the young men because they're like, oh, that's competition.
That's right.
And, you know, if they're here, they might get that cute young thing in the prairie dress. You got
to
go.
So we just need to somehow work out a way to keep the women out of cults.
Get rid of cults.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Sort of trying to. I don't know whether I'm succeeding. Anyway, I'll just keep mocking this shit.
Yep.
All right, what's next? yeah, this one. They actually speak about how Joseph cancels his newspaper subscription. It's like the 19th century version of subscription suck that Joseph's getting all mad about.
John C. Bennett, who is a member of the church, is elected to the county court.
He was actually appointed to the county court, and that's kind of the problem. People from an opposing political party are kind of feeling like these Mormons are going to take over.
So when this happens, Thomas Sharp writes a nasty editorial or more.
Thomas Sharp is writing, calling into question, you know, Joseph as a prophet. He wrote something else that was a little weird, talking about the saints from England coming over to Nauvoo and writing back home to other saints that were still in England, telling them how terrible it was and questioning Joseph as a prophet. Joseph, of course, doesn't take too kindly to this, and he writes, "Sir, you will discontinue my paper. Its contents are calculated to pollute me and to patronize the filthy sheet. That tissue of lies, that sink of iniquity is disgraceful to any moral man." And this is my favorite part. He says, "Yours with utter contempt, Joseph Smith." And then P.S., please publish the above in your contemptible paper.
Her favorite part was Joseph being a whiny little cunt. And, you know, I'm sure I've said it before. Trump and Joseph were cut from the same fucking cloth.
Oh, clearly.
They're con men who, if anybody has anything to say negative towards them, they go on the attack and they belittle and they bully. And when she says, oh, it's funny that he was writing this nasty article about the saints writing back to England telling how shitty it was. They were, because it was.
Yeah.
But that doesn't fit into their narrative of Nauvoo being paradise. Nauvoo was not paradise. Nauvoo was a fucking shitty frontier town with a small center of the rich and influential Mormons. Everybody else was living in fucking shacks. It was shit.
It was just like in the last few episodes, we called it a malaria bog.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the converts from England, from Sweden, from wherever, were sold a false bill of goods. And so, of course, if given the opportunity, they're going to write back and say, hey, guys, don't come here. It's a fucking mess.
I think my favorite clip from all of this, though, is this last one I'm about to play, which I've titled Orson Hyde Plays with His Rocks in 1841 Jerusalem.
So Orson Hyde, in 1840 or so, he had had a dream that he was going to travel through Europe and visit the Holy Land. Joseph agrees that this is a great idea, and so he leaves in March of 1841 and spends a little bit of time in London and then makes his way down, kind of following the path that he had seen in his dream, and eventually arrives at Jerusalem.
Was he hoping that he could preach there?
So he did want to preach to the Jews, and he did preach along the way. He sets up some meetings while he's there.
He dedicates the Holy Land as a gathering place for the Jews.
When he finished his prayer, Orson made a pile of stones at the site and walked back across the valley to pile more stones on Mount Zion.
I think for many of us, we see the modern state of Israel as a fulfillment of his dedication of this land.
That's because you're insane.
Yeah. The Mormons single-handedly saved the Jewish people by putting some rocks in some piles.
Yeah, what a world.
Yeah.
They like to play that they're Abrahamic. They like to play Old Testament.
Well, of course they do, because that was the whole point of Joseph Smith's fanfic.
Yeah.
That a small group of Jewish people came over to the New World.
Mm-hmm.
Mormonism was originally the way he sold it, was they were there to redeem and rescue the Native Americans who were actually Jewish people. When that didn't work out, they did a 180 and forgot about all that. In fact, they came out here to the West and just started indiscriminately murdering Native Americans.
Oh, well, isn't all of that just fucking horrible? I wish I had a palate cleanser for you, Jones, but I hear you've been working out. I messaged you the other day and you're like, oh, I'll message you later. I'm in the gym. And I'm thinking, good on you, Jones. You're getting your reps in. How's that going for you?
There are very few things in this world that make me happy, that bring me joy, that make me feel my life is worth living. Exercise is not one of those things. I fucking hate it. It sucks donkey balls. No, exercise sucks.
I guess this is my new normal.